Well, let's get into our topic this morning. We're going to get into God's Word in just a minute, but let me start off by asking, did anybody make a New Year's resolution? Anybody here? Show me your hands if you made any New Year's resolutions. Well, now I told you a little bit about our night last night, and consequently you might think that I'm dressed like this because I was lazy or just worn out. I can be lazy, and I am worn out, but I planned on wearing what I'm wearing long before last night. You see, I've come dressed for my New Year's resolution. Tell me a little bit about your resolutions. What's on your heart? What's going to be different about 2006 in your lives? I want you to know that this morning, I'm coming before you to tell you that I have resolved to follow the Lord's call and to lead this church, to lead the Bridge to be a great church in 2006. And we said before, those of you that have been here, we went through that series that said, are you looking for a great church? And we defined a great church by saying, a great church exists when the people make a great commitment with great compassion to the great commandments, which are loving the Lord God with all of who you are and loving your neighbor as yourself, and the great commission, which is taking seriously the privilege that it is to go out and bring the good news to all that need to hear about our Jesus. We said a great church exists when the people, and that includes me, when the people make a great commitment with great compassion to the great commandments and the great commitment and the great commission. Well, we're going to begin our year passionately committed to going through and making sure that we become a great church. And you see, I've dressed for the occasion because we as a church family, the Bridge, is going to begin the year taking very seriously a commitment to working out in God's gym. Amen? Are you ready for a workout? Have you got your sweats? Are you ready to get serious about getting into spiritual shape in 2006? I promise you, we will see this resolution through. We will see this resolution through. I make that point because so often New Year's resolutions, they tell me statistically in 2 weeks, one third are done. In 4 weeks, half are done. And after 6 weeks, 90% are done. They give up. We will see this resolution through. And that's what I've brought us to now. Our sermon this morning is called Real Deal Bodybuilding. And you see, we're going to take this morning to begin an introduction into what's going to be a 10-week study. We're going to walk through the book of Ephesians. We're going to take a look at what God has to say about getting into spiritual shape with the Ephesians fitness plan. Anybody ready? Anybody ready for the Ephesians fitness plan? Well, here's the plan. We're going to take the next 10 weeks to look at biblical body building. Now that phrase rolls off our tongues, bodybuilding. We think of it as almost one word. I want you to key in on three words. Biblical body building. These three words, in essence, are going to take the next 2.5 months of our time. But it's the key to getting into spiritual shape. Biblical. First, I say that AKA, that's the real deal. We talk about being the real deal. You got to be biblical. I don't care how good it feels. I don't care how good it looks. If you're not grounded in God's Word, you're not being the real deal. Excuse me. So when we talk about where we're going with biblical bodybuilding, it all starts with the biblical component. As an introduction to our workout, if you will, I want you to take a look at this. I'm going to show you a 4-minute video, and I hope it'll penetrate your heart because it all begins with God's Word. As we begin our workout, remember this about the Bible.
The Bible is an amazing book. It was the world's first printed book, and it has been translated fully into more than 2,000 languages and partially into many more. Despite attempts to discredit it and destroy it over the centuries, it remains the best-loved, best-selling book of all time. Sometimes you hear things about the Bible that make you wonder. It's an amazing book, but is it really true? You may have heard the argument that since the Bible has been copied many times over years and there's no original manuscripts available, that it surely can't be reliable. The fact is that the scribes who copied the Old Testament over the centuries were professionals, dedicated to accuracy, and scholars have been able to test that accuracy in a number of ways. For example, when the Dead Sea Scrolls were found, they included a complete work of Isaiah in Hebrew from about 125 years before Christ. That work is word for word identical with over 95% of today's standard Hebrew Bible, with a few minor spelling changes and obvious clerical errors. A few spelling changes over that many centuries? Sounds like some trustworthy scribes. Let's look at the resources available for translating the New Testament in comparison to other ancient literature. There are over 5,000 complete copies of the New Testament available and more than 20,000 partial books available, some written within 100 years of the original text. In comparison, the Iliad comes in a distant second. With only 643 manuscripts available, the best of which is 500 years newer than the original text. Maybe you've heard that archaeology proves the Bible wrong. That was a popular belief in the 19th century, but it doesn't hold up anymore. In fact, the more archaeological discoveries that are made, the more support the Bible gains. Jewish archaeologist Nelson Gluck has made over 1,500 archaeological discoveries using the Bible as a guide. He even states that no archaeological discovery has ever been made that contradicts the historical content of the Bible. Confused about who wrote the Bible? Well, the Bible is made up of 66 books written over 1,500 years by 40 human authors in three languages, making its unity truly remarkable. Throughout, it is unified in its story, spirit, and theme as it presents one plan of redemption for mankind. This unity, Christians believe, is brought about by the human authors being guided by one divine author. The divine origin of the scriptures is also supported by the fulfillment of prophecies documented in the Old Testament. In fact, there are over 322 specific Old Testament prophecies that are fulfilled and documented in the New Testament in the person of Jesus Christ. Here's the bottom line. It's easy to believe that the Bible is a fine piece of literature, an accurate historical account, and even of spiritual significance. But Jesus believed that the Old Testament was God's Word. And the Christian Church, from its earliest years, believes that the Old and New Testament is God's inspired Word. And all this information leads us to the same conclusion. But it's up to you to believe. I choose to believe that the Bible, this amazing book, is God's unshakable Word.
How many can say amen for an unshakable word? You know, it's a key point because where you start so often depends and determines where you're going to end. I say that because when we're talking about Christian bodybuilding, spiritual bodybuilding, if the Bible is not your guide and your authority, hear me now, if the Bible is not your guide and your authority, you are not building a biblical body. Now, that might sound like semantics in today's age, but I want you to know that that is absolutely paramount to understand. Because there's a ton of feel good, look good, sound good stuff that is not biblical. I've told you before, and I will say it for as long as I have breath. This is our user's manual for life. This is going to be our guide. If you don't like something I've said or something we do as a church, then you come to me and show me where we've made a mistake biblically. Okay? There may be times where we're going to differ in how we like things. All right. Made it. But the point is, we need to be in agreement in that the Bible is our base, it's our foundation. it's in God's Word, we do it. If it's not, we probably won't. But this is going to be our guide. If you don't accept the Bible up front as your guide and your authority, whatever you do going forward, you are not building a biblical body. And that is our goal. Amen? This point's critical because, like it or not, tough to hear or not, all other roads lead to hell. There's not a lot of hell talked about anymore. Okay? And I'm not going to throw balls of fire at anybody. But I do need people to know this. If you're not on a biblical road, it doesn't matter how good the road signs look along the way. You're heading for a hot destination. And we need to love people enough to tell them the truth. And in tough times, and when, oh boy, that doesn't sound like the God that I like, you're going to hear some of that. But you know what? When you stand on the Word of God, you stand strong. And that's what it's all about. Is we need to know that as we go forward, and I believe it's a big part of why God is blessing us already, is because we are standing unashamedly on the Word of God. And we are doing what it says to do as best we can, the right way, with the right heart, for the right reasons. Amen? Amen. So, for the next 10 weeks, with this in mind, we're going to use the New Testament book of Ephesians as our fitness plan. All right. We're going to go cover to cover. Okay, fancy speak, expository preaching is what it's called. We're going to go cover to cover. We're going to walk through the book of Ephesians. We're going to do it on purpose because Ephesians captures the essence of what it means to be a true biblical Christian and a real deal church. You see, Ephesians, many think, is perhaps the most profound book in all of the New Testament. Some of you know this. Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote about half of the New Testament. Ephesians is unique because in all of his other letters, he's addressing a particular person, a particular church, a particular problem, a heresy. Many look at Ephesians and think of it as almost Paul's summary statement, like his best of, greatest hits of Paul. You understand and get your heart around Ephesians. In many ways, you're getting the essence of what Paul communicated. Probably the greatest Christian that ever lived. Next to Christ. Probably had the greatest influence on the world for Jesus. Anybody that ever lived. If you get your head and your heart around Ephesians, you've come to understand a lot of what he was trying to send out. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to go cover to cover, 10 weeks, to get our hands around the vision and the blueprint in many ways of what it means to be a body of Christ. Now, I recognize there are other ways to exercise. Okay? They're all around us. There are many ways. A lot of people in pulpits, probably not dressed like I am, but communicating the same message and taking people down what they would say is the same road. I want you to know that there may be a lot of different ways to exercise. The problem is, only one way leads to true biblical bodybuilding. Body meaning the body of Christ and building it up. There's only one way. Now, that's not to say that there won't be others that look like God's bodybuilders. But looks can be deceiving. I'm not going to ask for an amen, but if there's an ouch out there, you know what I'm talking about. Say amen if you're sick of heavenly hypocrites. Huh? Say amen if you're sick of heavenly hypocrites. Nothing drives me. I'd rather go toe-to-toe with a screaming atheist than have to apologize for another heavenly hypocrite. It makes things so much tougher. Now, I'm not talking about the oops. Okay, we all oops. I'm talking about the hypocrite. I'm talking about the one that has no business claiming the name of Christ, but does it for other reasons. And I want to take a look at that for a minute. I say when we talk about these heavenly hypocrites, beware, watch out for spiritual steroids. Watch out for spiritual cancer. Watch out for spiritual phonies and spiritual deceivers. They're out there. And you know what? For me to take us through a study of what the Bible says about being the body of Christ and only focusing on the positive would make me remiss. You see, there are diseases out there. There are cancers out there. We need to watch out for. You need to be aware of them. And I promise you, as your servant leader, we will steer clear of these at all cost as a church. What do you mean, Jeff? Well, let's talk about steroids. Beware dangerous injections that create man-made, exaggerated appearances. They're out there. What do they look like? Let me give you some spiritual steroids to watch out for. Sensationalism. All dog and pony show, no content. You ever seen that? You go through and you say, wow, man, that was great. Where's Jesus? Got my attention. Woo-wee! Well, I don't remember what they said. Was there any meat in that? There's an awful lot of sensationalism to grow a crowd. Watch out for those phony injections. How about emotionalism? This too is running rampant in our day. It's all about how you feel. Well, you know what? I can get you to feel a number of ways. Okay? It's easy to create a frenzy. But you know what? God didn't call people to feel a frenzy. He called for transformed hearts. He talked about the real deal penetrating people's lives, making a difference in who they are, not just how they feel. Watch out for spiritual steroids that come in the form of emotionalism. How about empty humanitarianism? In the name of the church, here's a sandwich. In the name of the church, here's a jacket. You're cold. Now hear me. There's nothing wrong with those things. But when the church becomes a social service and leaves Christ at the door, that's a steroid. You see, that's somebody or a group getting puffed up for the sake of being puffed up. I told you before that we are going to lead the charge in giving out sandwiches and bringing jackets and getting into the nooks and crannies of our society. But we're going to do it by saying this. You know what? Jesus loves you and so do I. That's why I brought you a sandwich. Jesus loves you and so do I, and I want you to have a jacket. We're going to do whatever it takes to get an interpreter and some equipment so that you can hear the Word of God because Jesus loves you and so do I. We are to be nice and we're to put feet to our faith. It's part of being the real deal. But there are steroids that get caught up in doing niceness and forgetting about Jesus. As a church body, we're driven by the vision and the calling to fulfill the Great Commission. Everything we do will fit under that umbrella and it will work towards that end. Watch out when that stuff gets forgotten. Lastly, the health and wealth gospel. The steroids that say, oh man, if you just pray hard enough, Jesus will give you a Cadillac. You don't ever have to be sick again. You know what? I mustn't have been up on my prayers because Silas got hurt last night. Because you don't have to get hurt. Oh no. Something's wrong in your spiritual life, brother, if there's a cloud in your life. That's baloney. That's absolute baloney. It's from the pit of hell. That's a spiritual steroid. And unfortunately, it's all over the place. You hear it on TV, you'll hear it on the radio. Watch out for spiritual steroids. Cancer. Beware the hidden disease that does its damage from the inside. And it's often invisible until it's too late. Spiritual cancer. What's spiritual cancer look like? Cold-heartedness. Watch out for the spiritual cancer of cold-heartedness. I don't care. Big deal. It's every man for himself. You know, I made it. Let them make it. How about the cancer of self-centeredness? What's in it for us? You know what? I wouldn't mind coming if they just make the seats a little more comfortable. I'm just not comfortable with that. Maybe somebody else will do it. Watch out for the cancer of spiritual self-centeredness. Here's what I think is probably the worst. The spiritual cancer of backbiting and gossip. You're going to see as we go through this 10-week study of Ephesians that the overarching message of Ephesians is the unity of the body of Christ. Nothing gets used by the devil more frequently to do more damage than backbiting and gossip. There is absolutely no place for that in a healthy body of Christ. Amen? Last, self-elevation. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. Some of us may have been saved and have been Christians longer than others. Some of us may know more Bible verses or have a deeper understanding of the Scripture. But make no mistake, you're either lost or you're saved. And if you've been saved, it's been by the grace of God. Let me read to you the key verse from all of Ephesians. Two verses, actually. And I want you to remember this as we go through the 10 weeks. Everything comes back to this. Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10. God's Word says, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this, not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." That's especially important when we come to places where holy rollers, or somebody seems to think that we're on some kind of a hierarchical pitch. The longer you've been saved, the further up the hill you are. I've told you before, my concept for our ministry and my thanks to God is that I'm simply one beggar helping other beggars find bread. You ever forget that you're a beggar? You better go get a cancer test. And if you know more, or you've been saved more, it just means, or you've been saved longer, you just have more to be thankful for. There are no stair steps in a healthy body. We are all horizontal. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. Amen? Phonies. Watch out for spiritual phonies. Beware those who hang out around the gym with ulterior motives. Sometimes those that look the best are actually in the worst shape. Spiritual phonies. You recognize them as people who play church. Just doing their church thing, going to check it off. How about those that are all talk and no walk? Know everything to say, say it right, get out in front and say it early. But there's no substance behind them. That goes both ways. How about the all walk, no talk crowd? Jesus called them the Pharisees. The legalistic crew that says you got to do this, 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 and this. You do it this way, or that way. And then, you know, once you do that, then you do this. But they're as cold as an ice cube. They're not talking to God. There's no heart in it. It's phonies. Spiritual phonies. And I just put down here as kind of a catch-all. Anytime, any place, with anybody, that God's not in it, it doesn't matter what it looks like. That's tough stuff, but that's truth. That's God's truth, and I want you to know it. Lastly, the deceivers. Beware those who intentionally deceive and dissuade others. Distorting and disrupting God's work is their objective. Watch out. What do they look like? Real world, there are open Satanists. Now that's the extreme, but you know what? They're out there. There is an end to the continuum. But it's not just them. Watch out for those that are openly advocating false religions. Now this doesn't win me any awards here in the community, but I'm going to tell you straight up. If it's not biblical Christianity, it's a false religion. And anybody that is advocating or pulling or drawing people away from Jesus is pulling people to hell. They're doing what they can to add to those going to hell. That's a spiritual deceiver. Now, not everybody's got fangs and have this vicious nature to them. Some it's in ignorance. That's why we need to be out there. But nonetheless, you need to know that when the Buddhist says, you know, come rub Buddha's belly. This is the way. You know, the mysticist tells you, you know, just 20 minutes of chants in the morning and your whole day, you know, you'll have the inner power. Not so. Spiritual deceivers. Any non-biblical Christians, and I've intentionally underlined the small c. Unfortunately, we have people like Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses who are out there telling people, oh yes, we're Christian. You know what? They're not. They tell people because they understand that that will draw a bigger crowd. It'll lower the guard. It'll create some assumptions that allow them to penetrate in. Not so. Spiritual deceivers. Just because you hear Christian, you cannot accept the fact that they are a biblical Christian. Watch out. Lastly, human barriers. Anybody who does anything to hinder, stop, or try to derail your walk with Christ is a spiritual deceiver, and you have to watch out. You see, when it comes to being a follower of Jesus Christ, there's no middle ground. You either are or you aren't. But when people are out there intentionally trying to create a stumbling block, you need to treat that person like a spiritual deceiver and recognize it going in. Amen? Now, that's a bit of a long rabbit trail I took us down, but that's what happens when you leave the biblical foundation. All these things are out there. This runs rampant in our day. Why? Because we allow other options, other authorities, other guides. We leave the Bible. We become editors of the Bible as opposed to followers of the Bible. When that happens, these things come into play. Well, you get the picture. With God, it's always about the heart. Don't ever forget this. Anybody can build a sick crowd. But only God can build a healthy body, a healthy church. Only God. So back to our 10-week plan. We've covered the biblical. Now number two, the body. What do we mean by the body? Simple. The Bible is clear. We, the church of Jesus Christ, those that are true, genuine followers of Jesus Christ, we are the body. We are the body of Christ. That symbolism meaning simply this, that we are those that have been chosen. The followers of Jesus are the chosen collective children of God. Amen and amen. When we talk about the body, there are two distinctive characteristics, two traits, attributes I want you to see and understand. One is unity. The unity of the body is so key. And the other is interdependence. You see, biblical bodybuilding creates unity through individual and collective spiritual growth. It's as we grow individually in our faith and in our walk that we're able to better come together as a body, understanding who we are in Christ, understanding that my role is to be the ear of this body, or the elbow of this body, or the knee of this body. The better we understand who we are in Christ, the better we fit together as a family. And that is exactly what happens in a great church. Remember, a great church exists when the people collectively make a great commitment with great compassion to the great commandments and the great commission. That's what happens. That's why they become great. You see, it's not just a slogan. This is the roadmap to becoming a great Christian and a great church. I believe many of you saw that example on Christmas Eve. If you were there, you know what I'm talking about. Because when God's people come together for God's purposes, there is nothing like it. There is nothing like it. You can't find it. You can't buy it. You can't duplicate it. There is nothing like it on the planet. When we are the body that God has called us to be, we live to share the awe and reverence of our relationship with Christ. I want you to think about the awe and reverence of what it means to have been chosen to be picked out of the pit of hell. When you're the real deal body, you live to share that. Amen? Because we're different. We are different. We're called to be different. And when we live that out, people are drawn to the difference maker. Amen. The difference maker in our lives. I want you to see something and contemplate it for a minute. Because in short, what we have is what the world is looking for. Some admit it, some don't. Doesn't matter. It's what drives them. There's a God-shaped hole in the heart of every human being that walks the planet. They can admit it, and you'll see them going to India. You'll see them going to Tibet. You'll see them chasing the world over. You'll see them buying stuff. You'll see them doing... There's a God-shaped hole in the heart of every human being. If you're a genuine child of God and you are a part of the body of Christ, you have what the world is looking for. Take a look at this.
The question is there a place where you go to feel fantastic?
The shopping mall. I always enjoy coming here, and okay. I always walk out happy.
Is there a place where you go to feel completely awesome?
Mall.
The mall.
Yes.
What are you in awe of?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Reverence and awe. I guess the closest I can think of is a golf course. I love golf is a religion to me. Golf is life. So I just need to be out in the golf course. That's enough.
Excuse me, sir. Can I ask you a question?
No.
Is there a place where you go to feel completely awesome?
Awesome? Not that I know of.
No place?
No, not at all.
Do you happen to have any friends who are Christians?
No. No. Not right. Really.
Do you participate in any kind of worship?
Carefully.
Carefully,
church.
He said he's a member of Calvary Church.
Okay. Let me make sure I understand. You don't have any friends who are Christians, but you do go to Calvary Church.
Yeah. Right.
All right.
But I say more or less to myself.
Do you participate in any kind of worship?
No.
Nothing?
No.
Yeah. I worship.
All right.
The surroundings and where I am and lets me think about who I am.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have any friends who are Christians?
No.
Do you have any friends who are Christians?
Yes, I do.
When you're around them, or after you're around them, how do you feel? Do you feel differently?
No, not particularly anything differently, no.
Do you have any friends that are Christians?
Yeah, a few.
And when you are around them, or more importantly, when you leave, do you feel any differently?
No.
Do you have any friends who are Christians?
Yeah, some.
When you're around them, do you feel differently after you left?
Not really.
Do they seem different than non-Christians to you?
I can't tell.
Do you have any friends who are Christians?
Christian, yeah.
And when you are around them, how does that make you feel?
I don't know. Normal?
Do they seem different in any way than non-Christians, for example?
No.
They don't?
No.
Okay.
I have a Jehovah's Witness friend, and she's a little more, maybe, polite.
Do you have a place where you go to feel awe or reverence for anything?
Not really.
Mm-hmm.
Not really.
Do you have any friends who are Christians?
Oh, yes.
Do they seem different than other people?
No.
Okay.
Why should they?
Do you fear God?
Do I fear God? In what sense?
In any sense.
Sometimes.
Do you fear God?
No.
No?
No.
I have no religion. Yet.
Okay. Do you do any kind of worship at all?
No.
Okay. You just skate?
Yeah.
If you were to encourage young people to worship the awesome God that you know, what would you say to them?
No, I wouldn't even say nothing. I wouldn't even spend my time. I wouldn't even kill my time or spend my time with nobody right now. It's every man for himself.
Well, you know what, though?
Take care of
them. I don't believe that. And I want to be your friend.
Okay.
Now you got one friend. My name is Richard Greenwood.
Okay.
You have a friend who's a Christian.
All right.
What's your name?
Frank.
All right, Frank.
Frank Gomez, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, if somebody asks you if you got a friend who's a Christian, you say, yes, Richard Greenwood.
For right now.
As
soon as I close that door, Richard, you're gone.
No, you got a pen. I'll give you my name and phone number. We'll get in touch. We'll have coffee.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Frank. Is there a place where you go to feel completely, totally awesome?
What's this church?
Church. Okay. And, do you feel after worship in church?
Well, I feel much better, of course. But I feel good worshiping God anytime, whenever I think about Him. So that's the first thing that comes to my mind is worshiping God, knowing God through Jesus Christ, of course.
If you were to share with somebody who might not even be a Christian what it's like to experience worship and to worship a higher power.
Well, I'd tell them that God loves them, and God does love everyone, and that God, the Creator, wants them to know Him as their Savior and their Lord. Did that answer your question?
Folks, the real deal body of Christ lives to change the world. By contrast, okay, because a real deal body of Christ lives to change the world. By contrast, when a body blends in or stops engaging the world, it's just a religious crowd. It is not a biblical church. When a body stops engaging the world or simply blends into it, it's just a religious crowd. We will be a biblical church. In Ephesians, and our study through it will give us a tremendous enlightenment into what that means and to how to live it. You want to know what makes the difference between this crowd and the church? It's the third word we had, biblical body building. It's building. Another word for building is discipleship. That's what makes the difference. And discipleship simply means a personal spiritual development. It's growth. That's why we're committed to Bible teaching and diverse growth and grow groups here at the Bridge. See, the Bridge is all about building the body of Christ one life at a time, right where people live, in front of a Kmart, wrapping presents, down at a dock at 4 o'clock on a Monday morning, reaching out to somebody in a way that just shows them you really care. The Bridge is all about building the body of Christ. Not a crowd. I could care less about numbers. It's about building the body of Christ so that we can grow stronger to reach out and make a difference in somebody's eternity. Amen? So here's where the rubber hits the road. Here's the million-dollar question. Who did you most relate to in that video? Uncomfortable pause. Tick, tick, tick. Who did you most relate to in that video? If it's anybody but the last guy, we are here for you. That's why we're here. Anybody in that video except for the last guy. God turned my family upside down and brought us here for you. God's doing everything that you see around us in your midst for you. If you related to anybody but that last guy, we're here for you. And if you're already like that last guy in the video, praise God, together, we've got some work to do. We've got some work to do. 96% unchurched on Kent Island. We've got some work to do. Let's answer the call to live large for Christ. Let's get serious about changing the world together. Let's all make a resolution together as a church to get into great spiritual shape in 2006. If you want to be God's extraordinary hands and feet, and I pray you do, If you want to be God's extraordinary hands and feet, you have come to the right place. Thank God for that. I thank God for that. You need to thank God for that. That there is a place where you can come and you can be built up in your faith so that you will know the privilege of affecting eternity for somebody else. You see, I don't think that you can truly be a fully blossomed Christian if all you do is sit smug in your knowledge of your final destination. It just doesn't seem right. I don't think that you can truly know what it means to be a fully blossomed child of God until you've said, I'm ready. The answer is yes, Lord, send me. Here I go. Into the workplace. Maybe across the continents. Maybe across the bridge. Maybe across the hallway at work. Maybe across the desk at school. That's what it's all about. If you want to be extraordinary hands and feet for Christ, you've come to the right place. You see, the next Sunday, we're going to begin a 10-week Ephesians fitness plan. And I promise you, hear me, church, 10 weeks, we're going to walk through the book of Ephesians. We're going to see God's vision and calling for the church. We're going to go through Paul's greatest hits. I promise you, if you'll come be a part of this, this is the stuff champions are made of. Let's pray. Father God, I just come to you now and I thank you so much for the revelation of your word. I thank you, Lord, that you allow us to be a people who could be used to make such a great impact on eternity. We small little people have been blessed with the opportunity to be such a great instrument of influence. If we would simply just get up and go, Lord, if we would take the banner of Christianity out into the world, if we would simply live what we believe, and Lord, if we're not at a place yet where we believe it, then I pray that you will continue to tenderize hearts to see that this is the way, that you are the way, the only way. Lord, I pray for just an unction and a boldness in each and every one of us. I pray, Lord, that we will live out what the new book calls by George Barnard, revolutionaries. I pray, Lord, that you will give us the ability to be your revolutionaries here on Kent Island and in the community surrounding us. Lord, I pray that each and every person here today will embrace this resolution to get serious about working out in God's gym, to do the Ephesians fitness plan and get into great spiritual shape in 2006. I pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, it's time to worship the Lord with our giving. And I swear I wish there was a way or a place that I could do this in our services. I'm going to keep working at it. I have such a hard time slowing down when we finish. But it is a time of worship. And when we worship with our giving, that is an expression of our love for Christ. And so we do it with an upbeat song because it really is a time of praise and worship. I'm going to ask as our gentlemen come forward, Matthew, would you mind praying for our offering this morning? Well, I want you to all go out and have an absolutely great week being extraordinary representatives of our Lord Jesus Christ and living a life that is engaging, that is pressing into the community. Find those people that don't yet know what it means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ and just love on them. Just share your faith. You don't have to be an overt Bible-thumping witness. Just live out who you are in Christ. You know, Jesus loves you and so do I. That goes a long way. Is there anything I can pray for you about today? That goes a long way. You know, Lord's put you in my prayers. Just wanted you to know. That goes a long way. And you never know when God will use your stepping out. Small little thing. Just, hey, I've been praying for you. You never know how far open a door will swing if you just obey the call to live who you are in Christ. Amen? All right.